Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Aisling Keenan, and this is Private Education. Hello, you.
Don't judge me.
Right. Andrea is here.
Hiya.
And it's me, Aisling, your host. Welcome back to Private Education, everybody. Sorry about that. Basically, what I was trying to do there was someone, I was reading this stupid like podcast advice feature online somewhere. Oh, yeah. Why do I do it to myself? And what it said was, instead of being like, hello, everyone, which I always say.
Yeah.
They were like, make it sound like you're just talking to one person.
That would sound creepy in my ears.
I mean, I creeped myself out there.
Yeah.
No, I did start with, hello you, which sounds like the start of a really bad porno. So yeah. Maybe no. Mm. So won't be taking that advice.
You tried it. Didn't work.
Didn't
move
work.
Move on.
And the feedback to that article is, no.
Next.
Welcome back again, like I said. Thanks for listening last week. I hope everyone enjoyed last week's episode with Emer. We also talked about peeing after sex and UTIs. And
important.
I think I had a bit of feedback actually, Andrea, on Instagram. There was someone who was blown away by the wiping front to back thing.
Well, can I just say that I am delighted that we've brought that.
Yeah, we've brought that to the masses.
Yeah.
Or like, you know.
Listen, if you change one person's life,
this is it. We might as well have changed everyone's life.
Honestly, all you want to do, if you do good for one person, if you teach people how not to get one person not to get a UTI. In a very simple fashion.
Yeah.
Done.
It's not a lot of
job
work.
Job done. Oh my God.
Changing the direction of your hand.
Changing
between
lives.
Your legs. Hey. Anyway.
Hey.
So listen, I want
Sorry,
to
Sorry, that was slow.
You're on a bit of a go slow today,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, so yeah. Slow.
So I wanted to ask you, before we get into, listeners, we have two listener queries to agony aunt the shit out of today. We are bringing the agony and we're bringing the aunt. Two really juicy questions, actually, that we got in from listeners. We're going to keep them anonymous, as we always do. But before we go in to start answering them, and they're completely different questions as
two
well.
Two ends of the spectrum.
Like, completely different. But before we do, I want to talk about the fact that do we need to clarify that in order to get yourself pregnant, if you're trying to conceive, the way to do that is not to drink your partner's cum 4 times a week.
Listen, if you're Kourtney Kardashian,
fertility
advice in the States in LA, that could be the advice you get.
So just in case anyone has missed this, which I'm sure many people probably have.
Yeah.
The Kardashians new series, which is on, I'm watching it on Disney Plus. So I don't know where it is in the States, but it's on Disney Plus anyway, mm-hmm. in Ireland. In the latest episode, Kourtney Kardashian, the eldest sibling, and her new husband, Travis Barker, the drummer from Blink-182, are trying to conceive. They're mm-hmm. trying to have a baby together. And she already has 3 children with her ex, but they haven't got a child together. He has a couple of children as well, I think. They're older. And they are going to this fertility doctor, and then during the episode, Kourtney and Travis are having a conversation with some kind of Ayurvedic wellness guru. And Kourtney's basically says to her, she's like, yeah, so the doctor said, like, to help things along, I should basically drink Travis's cum 4 times a week.
Yeah.
When I say I nearly flung myself off the sofa, like I was watching this in the middle of the day and
having
I was
tantrum.
Like, and it's not because I'm not squeamish about that sort of thing. Obviously, I literally
not a prude.
No,
yeah.
Like, but the fact that there's a doctor somewhere
in the world.
Suggesting that that is going to help someone conceive confused me. Now, but by all means, if there's a medical, if there's evidence to support that out there.
So
tell me. Oh, I want to know. You're a doctor. I mean, a different kind. A
different type of doctor, but you can, I can interpret stuff that people say. And basically, it looks like it's coming down to a thyroid problem. Isn't it always? But in terms of her thyroid levels.
Right.
So that was the motivation behind the advice. So it was that, like, either, and Courtney doesn't specify, but either her thyroid function was too high or too low. And the doctor recommended that if she drank his semen 4 times a week, it might help her hormone balance.
But
no.
like I'm just so confused. There's can hormones, like, can testosterone from a man transfer via semen into a woman's mouth and then absorb into her? Like, that just seems like some serious weird sci-fi shit that isn't feasible.
So
am I?
No, you're not wrong. No, you're, okay. And there's no literature behind the, it's any evidence that this doctor would have would be anecdotal to say the
at
least
best. Okay.
But even thinking about, like, the semen being swallowed into your digestive tract will be destroyed by the acids in your stomach.
I was just,
like,
thinking
there
that.
Is, I know people say, you know, hormones in milk can affect different, but like, so if you, okay, so let's think about, shall we think about how much cum you ejaculate versus a glass of milk? So in terms of quantity of hormones and,
I mean, like,
the, if you want to refer to it as a dosage.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. Yeah. So there's, significantly less than a glass of milk, I would say.
Yeah.
In the average man's ejaculation. Listen,
and I'd say there's a shot glass for, if you were to gather it up 4 times a week, you might get one shot glass.
Yeah. I don't know. So maybe there's like
super ejaculators.
Juicier men out there than we've ever experienced. Sometimes it's difficult to quantify it though, because it either goes inside you or it goes like
somewhere else.
All over the bed or like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know.
Yeah, this is true, but you're not drinking enough of it.
It's not real.
Basically, what we're saying is don't be duped into.
Don't be going drinking cum to try and get pregnant. There are medical. It's like, do you know what it's like? It's like thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
It's like, my grandmother has, you know, cancer. I light a candle for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do any chemotherapy though, because my candle is going to work for you.
I'll lay my healing hands on you.
No, do the chemo.
No,
light a candle as well if you want.
Absolutely, if it makes you feel good.
Can't do any harm.
No,
so basically,
don't leave the candle unattended.
What I think we're getting at here is, if you're trying to conceive, which so many people are at the moment, go the medical route,
or at least don't trust, like, anecdotal medical in
quotation marks, yeah,
advice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Make sure that the people that you are getting your advice from,
and I mean, if you want to drink jizz,
cheers
for like all the live long day, work away.
Honestly,
I'm not gonna stand in the way of your
consumption
needs or whatever. I'm not, like,
no,
I am not in charge of your, you know, what you want to drink, but
scientifically it's not going to lead to your pregnancy.
I don't think so.
No.
And maybe anecdotally it did for a couple of people on the west coast of America. But
listen,
I don't know. I just think I really was like, well, that's a swizz.
Yeah.
A jizz swizz.
Yeah.
She got jizz swizzed. That's what I thought. I was like, she's getting jizz swizzed and she doesn't even realize it.
She doesn't even know it.
Like, Travis was obviously in cahoots with the doctor being like, here, listen,
I need a few bills.
I need to up my blowies. Like, my blowy count is low. Can you influence this at all?
Say no more.
Take an advantage.
A wink.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, look, we'll move on. Okay, we have agony aunt things to get to. So I'm going to read the first one.
Okay.
I have it here. I have it here, I promise. Okay, here we go. I'm going to change. There's some key details that I'm going to change for anonymity reasons.
Amazing.
Hey girls, I hope you're both well. That's us.
Thanks.
I'm wondering if you'd discuss the topic of the snip or the refusal of a partner to get one, please. So by the snip, she means, what's the technical term?
Vasectomy.
I was going to say castration. That's not it.
Oh, no.
A vasectomy.
Vasectomy.
So she says, I'll give you some anonymous, please, background. Married for 10 plus years, together for 20 plus years. I've taken on the majority of our contraception responsibilities from the start, as I've been on the pill since we met, only taking a break when we had our children. We are both in agreement that we have finished our family, yet he refuses to get the snip. We've had a few accidents in the last few years, in that we've had unprotected sex and I'd forget to take my pill a day or two later. This has happened on more than one occasion, and again, I've had to take the responsibility to make sure I don't get pregnant by getting the morning after pill. She actually says the map here, and I was like, the map to where? when I read it the first time, I was like, she gets the map
and then plans a journey too. Yeah. Goodness.
Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. We're a bit giddy. Aren't we always?
Listen.
The morning after pill, not the map. If I didn't suffer from painful periods, I'd just come off the pill and leave it up to him, especially as his sex drive is higher than mine.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times where I've refused sex due to having to wait 7 days after taking the morning after pill. And he's gotten into a strop and we've had arguments about it. I'd explained to him my reasons for refusing sex, but he still doesn't want to get the snip. I've told him I've carried and given birth to our children and taken responsibility for our contraception from day one, and it's his turn now, but nope. It seems his jewels are too precious, and I love that she finishes it off with the eye roll emoji. Yeah, that's key.
That is key.
So, what do you think?
I think a lot of things.
I've written down my notes here. Now, you're going to have to reel me in, but I've written down, I hate men.
Oh, no. Buckle up. Hang on. Okay.
No, listen, I don't. Obviously, I'm actually a huge fan of men.
Yeah.
One specifically, but men in general, I really appreciate them. And I think they do get a bit of a hard time at times. But on this occasion, I don't know why men are so precious about their, as she says, their jewels. Like, I can't understand how to be completely honest, yeah. I'm in a similar situation in the sense that from when I was 16 and I became sexually active, I've been on the pill basically,
yeah,
all the way up until after I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came off the pill because it was giving me headaches. I was having side effects. Like, it was really wreaking havoc after I'd been on it for like 16 years.
That dosage of hormones in your system.
Totally. Yeah, it was just causing ructions. So I had all the way through my life being sexually active, I was always in charge of my own contraception.
Mm-hmm.
Now obviously with various partners there was condoms and, you know, other
of course, yeah,
protections involved, but in my monogamous relationships where I was STI tested and all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
at the start I was like, if I wasn't using condoms I was always in charge of the contraception. So I understand that she's done that. And I also carried a child and delivered a child. And I don't think I am finished my family as she is.
Yeah.
But if I was,
mm-hmm,
I would absolutely be asking my husband to have the vasectomy.
Yes.
And I don't understand. I do not. Andrea's laughing at me because she's like, holy shit. But I don't understand why they're so... why men that won't get a vasectomy are so precious about their bits. Like, I can't... I would love to know. I'd actually love to ask someone and be like, talk to me. Tell me what it is that you don't...
Yeah.
You still ejaculate. You still feel pleasure. Everything still works exactly as is.
Mm-hmm.
But the sperm aren't...
there,
I don't know,
they just don't come out.
They're not the ejaculate is still the same, it's still, you know,
but there's just no sperm in
there. There's just no sperm in there.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't get it.
So yes,
is it like a manly, what is it?
Listen, I don't have sperm.
Reel me back in.
I don't have sperm.
Currently, okay, or listen. Go on.
I don't have sperm, so I can't answer that last question. You said
you don't have balls. You don't have a penis.
No. You don't have balls. You're like, that's an,
no, like,
an attack.
You've got metaphorical balls. You don't have literal balls.
I don't have literal balls. But what I'd say is I see it as a body autonomy thing. 100% accept and agree that just because somebody needs to take accountability for contraception, it shouldn't be always falling on women. And I think historically it has. Through
in hetero relationships, obviously,
in hetero relationships, of course, through the generations of that conversation that's happened, it's, you know, that's been generally the woman's responsibility. Like, you don't get yourself pregnant. Like, well, you're not doing it to yourself. Do you know that way?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Maybe that's what I'm angry about.
That's the rhetoric behind it. You know, that kind of way. We're like, women are taught not to get pregnant. Men aren't necessarily taught. Well, no, I suppose they are because they're told to use condoms. I was going to say men aren't necessarily taught, don't knock somebody up. But I just feel like in women, there's a bigger responsibility there because you're the one that's going to be carrying the physical baby.
You're the one that will be given that.
But if we take all of that into account and the comments that you'd made about hormones and like the side effects of the pill and all that stuff, vasectomies do have side effects as well. Do you know that way? Well, like if you get a vasectomy, you can't have children. So that's a side effect.
Okay. Technically.
So that's
that's normally the intent.
The intent, exactly.
You know,
but that is a decision that the man has to make. Yeah. The same way it's a decision a woman has to make if they want to ingest hormones every month to stop themselves from being pregnant. So I see it as a conversation that needs to happen, and I don't see the responsibility that should come down on one side or the other. I think it needs to be a mutual decision.
Mm-hmm. Now, I agree. Like, totally, I totally agree, and I think. When the time comes in my family, I will be having a mutual decision.
You will be having a mutual vasectomy.
I will be escorting my husband to his mutual decision vasectomy.
Yeah.
But I just feel, and maybe this is the advice that we'll give to the listener, because I mean, I feel like it's not like I have taken responsibility for all of it for long enough.
Yeah.
I have
carried
the child. I've given birth to the child. I have, you know, in some cases, not personally, but like breastfeeding the child. Like, our bodies are not our own for so long.
Yeah.
And for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. And we go through, like, I mean, don't even get me started on periods and menopause. Honestly. And our bodies are ruled by this evil overlord known as hormones. And every decision we make, literally everything is ruled by hormones.
Yeah.
And whether you experience it to a really, really extreme effect or like you only get a bit of it, either way, we are ravaged by hormones all the time for our whole adult lives.
Yeah.
And then we go into menopause and then, you know, so I'm just the fact that we're saying, hi, guys. Do you want to just do this one quick thing for us?
Yeah.
It's a day surgery that will not be painful for
you. People get it done on their lunch break.
People get it done on their lunch break. This is what I can't understand.
And the other thing that I'd like to speak to, because you just brought it up there, was women experience menopause. The argument that men might change their mind is like, you have a choice.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You could still reproduce at 70. So all of a sudden, Mother Nature comes in, decides to throw the hormones.
Yeah. Askew, see you later. Yeah.
And then we don't have that choice.
No.
So I don't necessarily agree with that being a huge reason.
I also have this written down. Reversible. Vasectomies are reversible.
Now, they're not 100%.
But menopause is 100%.
Menopause is 100%. So, exactly. Like, so I'm just, I just wanted to weigh in with that as well, because I'm not saying that I'm pro-man.
Like, oh no, we love men. Listen, I love men. I love men.
I love men. I love men. I love men.
I do.
Yeah.
But I don't understand them.
No, same.
No, but I don't.
No, absolutely.
And sorry. What I mean is, I don't mean to be flippant about it, because it's very serious. I don't understand. I genuinely struggle to understand why, if that is the case for, like it is for our listener, like it is for me, that the contraception has always been taken care of, you know, by the woman in this partnership, And now they're finished their family, and there's a very easy, very reversible, very like relatively pain-free, in non-invasive,
yeah, straightforward,
straightforward surgery that can be had, that can, you know, tie up, for want of a better phrase, yeah, the reproductive plans for the family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why the man would be like, you're not going near my equipment, sperm sacks.
Yeah.
You just keep taking hormones there until your ovaries shrivel up in menopause. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't understand. I can't get my head around that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would love to have a conversation with someone who could explain it to me. Like, I would love, I genuinely would. I would like to sit down with someone who's like, no, I'm not getting a vasectomy, and be like, talk to me about your reasons for this.
I'd love to understand.
I'd love to understand.
I would love to understand, I would, that as well. Yeah.
I really would, because like I said several times, I love men and I want to understand. But at the moment, I can't.
I mean, me either.
I just can't. And I can, listen, I can understand people not wanting to get it done too young. You know, I can, if you know, okay, God forbid, right? Someone got a vasectomy,
mm-hmm,
because they'd finished their, you know, with their family or whatever, and their partner passed away, or they broke up with their partner. They, mm-hmm, the marriage didn't work out, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, they're with someone new. They're only in their, I don't know, mid 40s or something, or like,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, I love this woman, I want to have a baby with her.
Mm-hmm. I would love to know.
Is that what? Is that the logic?
It could be. It could be logic.
What if my wife dies? What if my partner dies? Like,
yeah, but like at the same, in the same breath, then would women be thinking like, would you turn around to your husband and say, I'm just going to go and do an egg retrieval in case, on the off chance that
you
one
die
of these catastrophic things happen.
Yes.
Or our world as we know it,
yeah,
is different.
Yeah, I'm just going to go just freeze gonna pop my on eggs. Ice. Don't worry about it though.
Don't worry about it. No worries.
I'm not like, yeah, no worries. Like, I'm not hoping you die.
Yeah, just in the off chance.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I understand.
This is what I just like, if that is legitimately the reason, I like, grand, I'll accept that.
Yeah,
but I,
again, it's just understanding the reason.
It's just,
what
I'd
love to know, and I don't know, and will look to find out from a fertility specialist, is because the semen doesn't leave your body doesn't mean it can't be retrieved potentially. So on the, let's just say, right, worst comes to, I don't know this, but I'm speculating, so the sperm is still made. So
is
nothing.
Is it still made?
Yeah, so it's just like,
see, I actually don't know.
Like a little like snippy snip tidy tie, turn it around. Do you know what I mean? It's like putting a valve, like a closure valve on something.
So just, you see, I don't know the I've actually never performed a vasectomy, would you believe? So
I did two over lunch, no one meant. I did not.
I don't know what actually happens there. Yeah.
But I would love to know.
I do know that the ejaculate still comes out though, because I know that's, look, it's an important feature of sex.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like,
yeah,
I can understand that. 100%. Like, I can get my head around that part.
Yeah. So if the sperm is still produced and it just doesn't leave the body,
mm,
is there a way to, so let's say something catastrophic happened, or let's say even you and your partner decide, okay, the circumstances in which we made the decision in the first instance have changed, and actually now we'd like our family to grow,
to be bigger, yeah.
Could you retrieve the sperm from the body
if the vasectomy it turns out to not be reversible?
Exactly. I'd love to know that, because in that case,
hang on a sec, does that mean that there's just infinite sperm building up inside a man?
Well, I mean, there's, then, like, I don't think it's infinite, but no. But I'd say it's still produced somewhere, and it probably just like
dissolves.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
interesting.
Again, this is all speculation, Your Honor. I'd like to actually look into that a little bit more, because I think that might help people come to a decision
if that was it.
Anyway,
but like,
who are we to counsel people in their fertility journeys?
No, we are
just
not.
To
we
say,
are not fertility counselors.
No,
but I do. I wonder. I mean, I'm sure that the person who wrote in has investigated these things. I'm sure they have looked into, you know, the logistics of a vasectomy and the potential for future children should be wanted.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I would also like to say that the morning after pill, as contraception, is not a great idea.
Absolutely.
Like,
not.
You can take the morning after pill as many times as you need to,
mm-hmm,
and there's no problem medically. But it shouldn't be used as contraception, really. And now, I don't think the listener was using it as contraception, but I'm just saying.
As an aside.
As an aside, because I think what she said was she had to go and get it a couple of times when her pill, when she didn't take the pill on time or whatever. Yeah. But I, and that's fine. And that's what it's used for. That's what Absolutely. It's there for. And I have done the same. I've, how many times? I've probably taken the morning after pill 3 times in my life, maybe.
Okay. I think I've taken it twice.
Mm. And the thing with that is, I think medically speaking, like doctors, etc., want people to know that it shouldn't be used as a form of contraception. So you shouldn't just be like, la-di-da-di-da, I'm going to have sex without protection. And then should the worst happen, I will just get the morning after pill.
It shouldn't be. And it, you know, like it doesn't do great things for your body. So if you think about what the pill can do and the side effects that it causes, exactly. The dosage or the amount of hormones in that versus your average pill is a lot more.
All right. So not ideal.
So it's not ideal. And you don't want to put your body through that unnecessarily.
Yeah. Fair.
But it's a very useful and a very important pill to be able to access if you need it.
Yeah. And I've heard that it's less intrusive lately because when I went I was probably, I don't know, early 20s.
Yeah.
And I went to the pharmacy to get it. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it had just become available in pharmacies. Previously, you would have had to go to your doctor.
Yeah.
I might be misremembered. But anyway, so I went and my God, did they ask me a shit ton of questions.
Yeah.
What did you have for breakfast this morning? Mm-hmm. How many times a week do you do this? Do you watch blah, blah, blah? Like, honest, it was so, like, they asked me everything. They asked me.
As if you were trying to...
What?
It's as if you were trying to, like, you know, get nuclear code somewhere or do something. Do you know what I mean? Like, be a pilot. Do you know that kind of way? Do something.
They really question it. And they question it about your sexual history. And they queried, like, my reasoning for getting it. Like, you know, they were like, and why do you need this? And I was like, well, obviously I was having unprotected sex and I don't want to have a baby.
Yeah.
And I just said that like that. I wasn't like, well, I didn't make up an excuse.
No.
Like, you know, when you're like 6 or 7 and you have to make your communion and your teacher's like, what's your sin? And you're like, I don't have a sin. I'm 7. Like, I haven't done anything wrong. And they're like, well, just make one up for the priest. And you're like, okay. No, like I didn't go to the pharmacist and make up some kind of, well, the condom broke, so now I'm here looking for the morning after pill. Yeah. I didn't do that. I just was like, give it to me because I need to not be pregnant. And
straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no, fairness. They
did.
They acquiesced and gave me the morning after pill. But I've heard that nowadays, that makes me sound old, but nowadays it's a lot less interrogatory. I was going to say it's a lot less you know, here, give me all your sexual history.
Yeah,
it's like you kind of go in and you say, look, I need the morning after pill, and they kind of go, okay, well, here you go, but maybe don't do this every week.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of, it's a little easier nowadays to get it.
Okay,
what's our advice for the listener?
I'm sorry.
I know I just asked you a question, but we need to discuss the fact that her partner gets into a strop when she refuses to have sex.
That was one of the things I was going to actually come back to.
Can we address that, please? Yes. Yeah.
Like everybody has days where you're into it and your partner isn't, or your partner's into it and you're not. But, and you can be disappointed, but you don't strop.
You don't strop.
There will be no huffing.
We will not huff.
Honestly.
I like that. Freaks me out a little bit. And
yeah.
I don't think that's, I mean, I don't want to be judgy, but like, that's not cool.
No, but obviously, so two things. Obviously, I don't think it's cool either. So that's our perception of it.
Yeah.
But the fact that the listener has said that, she obviously doesn't think it's cool either.
Yeah. No, so she's it's obviously good not to happy
say,
with it.
It's good, so it's good to say it out loud to be like, and then he gets into a strop and to be like, it's almost like a soundboard.
She also says she's explained to him why she can't have sex.
Like, yeah.
I've just taken the morning after pill. These are the reasons that I can't, like, and he's still like annoyed.
Yeah.
That upsets me.
And you know, it kind of upsets me twofold because it's like, okay, well, okay, I've said no. So that's a consent thing. One A. B, the reason I've had to take the morning after pill is because you won't get a vasectomy. So you're doing this to yourself.
So yeah, this is, you know, technically what I mean? Your fault, pal.
So like, this is a cycle that's going to continue to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think, like, if you are in a relationship with someone who genuinely gets annoyed when you say you don't want to have sex yeah. for a very, very good medical reason.
Yeah.
You should be like, here, pal.
Jog on.
Yeah.
To the vasectomy clinic yeah. and then let's sort this out. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I just yeah. think that's not great. Like, it's that's not a great reaction to have.
It's not a great reaction. And it's...
Like, look, don't get me wrong. There's been times I've wanted to have the ride and I've been in a strop when someone was too tired.
Yeah.
Or when someone was not, you know, I don't just mean my husband, I'm not just calling him out. Yeah. But like, you know, there have been times. But or when you might, you know, lots of couples have differences in sex drive and wants and needs and whatever. But like, it'd be a very silent strop to myself. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, I'd probably sulk a bit, but I wouldn't be like, you prick.
No. And I think, yeah, there's a difference between having a little moment to yourself to be like.
Yeah. Being a little pissed off to yourself silently and actively throwing a strop.
Absolutely. And I think that's just something to be just aware of.
Keep it in mind. Keep an eye on it.
That would be one of the first pieces of advice I'd give. Mm. And also to potentially have that conversation on a, so maybe take that example as while it's not happening. So not in the instance where somebody wants to have sex with you and you can't have sex because you've just taken the morning after pill, but use that as the explanation, as maybe an evidence point to be like, you know.
Yeah. If, while you're having the vasectomy conversation, like.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to do this.
Yeah.
You could use that as a way to explain this. Yeah. These are the things that happen because you don't have a vasectomy and because I have to take the pill and sometimes it doesn't work or sometimes. You know, like we know, like if you've got like, if it upset tummy or you just wouldn't feel as confident on your contraception if there was something else at play. Mm. So yeah, you do because have to be careful.
There is a lot that messes with contraception. Like if you're on antibiotics, if you're unwell, if you're hungover, if you puke at all, it can really affect things up. Mm-hmm. Like truthfully, I don't know how there's not far more accidental pregnancies when people are on the pill because it's notoriously difficult to, and then there's a lot of human error involved because people forget to take them and what time is it and did I take mine today, maybe I took two, actually, you know. It's a minefield.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Our main advice, I think, for the listener who has written in is, well, like what I would suggest would be I get the feeling they've already discussed it, but I don't feel like they have heard each other is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So what I would love to happen, or what I would, in an ideal world, what might happen is the listener sits down and is like, look, we need to discuss this. We need to make a decision because one way or the other, action needs to be taken. Like if I'm going to go back on the pill, or if I'm going to get a coil, or if I'm going to take responsibility, or if you're going to take responsibility, a conversation needs to be had and they need to sit down. And I think if the listener genuinely was like, okay, here are my reasons, not just would you ever get the snip, like, and I don't want to, I'm sick of taking the pill. But if they genuinely, if they sat down and they laid it all out and they were like, here is the landscape as it stands. Here's what I have done over the past 20 years to keep us, to plan our family.
Yeah.
Here are the efforts that I've made. Here is the money that I've spent going to doctors, getting prescriptions, getting the pill. Here is the amount of pain and, you know, effort and change my body went through in order to provide our children.
Yeah.
To our family. Provide, that sounds weird, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, if she laid all that out and said, I think it's on balance pretty reasonable to ask you to get a vasectomy.
Yeah.
And when it's all laid out in front of him in black and white like that,
yeah,
maybe that would make him go, actually, do you know what? Fair enough. Maybe I will.
Yeah.
That would be the hope. But I do think a discussion and...
In non-heated, like, yeah, a very level discussion, yeah, not, yeah, in the midst of one of these incidents, or, you know, totally, when, like,
yeah,
it has to be removed, it has to be neutral.
Yeah, it has to be not like 5 minutes after you've had the ride and you didn't use protection and you have to go and get the morning after pill the next day.
Yeah.
But at a non-heated time, just sit down, have the discussion and look at it from a, you know, as kind of balanced a perspective as you can.
Yeah.
And look, if your partner is still, you know, protecting those jewels, like you said,
mm-hmm,
that's his decision. Because again, like you said, bodily autonomy.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he is well within his rights to make the decision not to have a vasectomy. He can't ask you to go back on a pill and put hormones into your body.
No, same.
He can't ask you to have a coil inserted.
Yeah.
So someone is going to have to take responsibility for your family's contraception.
Mm-hmm.
And if he decides it's not going to be him,
who is it going to be?
Who is it going to be? And because what even, is it going to be?
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking of those things. I don't want to name the company. I don't know why I don't want to name the company, but you know when you can monitor
name those guys.
I think it's called Natural Cycles, is it? Where you monitor your temperature and you track your cycle and you do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I know that's pretty reliable, but still that involves you doing that work.
That involves effort from
you. Do you know what I mean? So I was trying to think of a way. But anyway.
But either way, it's a discussion that has to be had.
It's a discussion.
And it's a
decision. I do think it has to be a decision that both people
need to be happy with.
But both people need to be happy with. That's mm-hmm. the thing. It's not just somebody sticking their fork in the ground and saying,
I'm not moving.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving.
Oh
my God, we're holding microphones. We could totally recreate that whole scene.
Fucking mistake. No one can see.
Grand. So we'll move on to the next listener query. We got this in by email.
Oh.
Yeah. We have an email. Did
how
you know
very
that?
90s of us.
No, it is quite 90s. It's privateeducationpod@gmail.com.
I love that.
If anyone ever wants to slide into our emails instead of our DMs.
Do it.
Do it.
Be the revolution.
We're ready.
Yeah.
Do not send us dick pics. Okay, moving on. So the listener says, I'm obviously going to keep her anonymous, but it is a she, her candidate for the old she, her pronouns.
Perfs.
My boyfriend and his ex were together for several years. She is still very much part of his friend group, but now that he and I have been together for almost 2 years, I am part of that group too. The problem is that I feel so insecure around her. I've been struggling with my own self-confidence and body image, etc. lately, and the fact that she is naturally absolutely stunning does not help my insecurity. Every time I'm hanging out with the pals and she's there, I'd find myself automatically comparing myself to her. And I hate the fact that she broke up with him as opposed to the other way around. I hate thinking of the fact that he has kissed her and been intimate with her. And it just makes me feel so sad in my current insecure state. Any advice? And she says, thank you.
Oh, lads.
Aww.
My little heart is breaking.
My heart.
Here.
Like I do. I feel for her. That must be really difficult.
I don't know how you manage that situation because, as you know, we're lucky we're friends because,
yeah,
as you know, I couldn't run.
You do. I
change postcode.
Oh my God, you do.
If I could get off a continent, I would. I just don't. I just try my best to remove that person and anything that reminds me of them. It's not very healthy. I'm going to own that up because what if I run into them in the real world? Who's to say? But like I try and remove them.
So your style.
Yeah.
Like, unlike this girl. So she's obviously, well, not the person, not the listener, but
her boyfriend
broke up or was broken up with by this mm-hmm. other girl.
they can be
and
friends.
And they can be friends. Or they might not be friends, but they're certainly still in the same friend group.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I mean, I can... Your style is sever the limb. You're like, get me away from that person.
Yeah.
Block them on everything. Block everyone they've ever met.
Yeah. I unfriend. I unfollow. Because you know why? If I don't, I emotionally cut myself. You know, that kind of like...
Yeah,
I check in. And like having to see them probably would make me feel like this, the way this girl is describing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know how she's doing it.
I really don't either, I'm going to say, because as much as I'm not a sever the limb kind of gal, like, yeah, I can still...
empathize.
Like, I can not empathize, but like, I'm if I'm broken up with someone and they're still, like, they still follow me on Instagram or they still exist in my my orbit for whatever reason, like, I'm fine with that. Like, that's, it's kind of grand. I'm not a checker inner, like, the odd time maybe for like, but I'm not really a checker inner. But I do understand the comparing to the ex. Like, I that must be difficult, particularly if she's feeling insecure.
I think this is also not helping her at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, the way she's feeling, I don't think is helping the situation. And the situation, I think, is like a cycle. Do you know that kind of way? So like, one is feeding into the other.
How tough must it have been for her to integrate into that group of friends? With, like, the ex sitting there staring at her.
Fair play to, like, honestly, like, that's medal worthy behavior, because you're really just being like, I'm here. I'm gonna do it. Like, I'm just gonna join the group.
She's braved it, like.
Yeah.
God, that must have been really, really difficult.
I can't imagine.
Have you ever done that?
No.
I haven't done it either.
I haven't actually, let me just say, I've not knowingly done that. But
yeah, fair.
You know, I've never joined a group of friends where I was going out with someone whose ex was there.
Mm.
And also, I feel like the fact that from the listener's story, have you?
I don't think so.
Again, I don't think so.
I think I've been in a friend group where the person that I was kind of kissing had kissed one of the other girls.
Listen.
But, I mean, haven't we all? But younger. Never. Yeah, but never in a relationship level.
No.
Kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that must be really tough.
Yeah.
So, can we talk about the fact that the listener has said that this ex-girlfriend is absolutely stunning?
Yeah, because that's all relative, you know?
It is all relative and it's totally objective. But the thing is, I feel like even if the ex-girlfriend looked like an ingrown toenail, the girl would still be like, oh my God, she's stunning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if she was like not good looking. That's so
No,
mean.
I know what you're saying. Even,
you know,
if somebody,
I mean,
might,
if someone,
like,
was totally
objectively say maybe they're not like...
Yeah, like if they weren't exactly a 10, this girl would still be like, oh my God, they're...
She's a 27, what am I going to do?
100%.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, you're obviously, she's going to be like comparing herself because she's feeling insecure.
Yeah.
So I would venture that maybe the girl is, you know, on par with her.
Yeah.
Or even, I mean, look, looks aren't everything as well.
No.
And it might be worth thinking about, like, yes, she might be really good looking, but they're not together anymore for whatever reason.
And I'd also, the for whatever reason is really important, because the listener said...
Yeah, she said that the girl broke up with
him,
the boyfriend.
Now, that is probably true.
Yeah.
But
not, I don't think it's indicative
of... I don't think it is.
I don't think it means that, like, he's still mad about her.
No.
I think it means that there was problems in the relationship and she ended things.
Yeah, like, someone has to.
Like, come here. Let's be honest. He could have been a complete dick to her and she was like, well, go and fuck
goodbye.
Yourself. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, like, who's to say?
We've no idea.
We don't know why they broke up.
No.
Maybe she does. Maybe she has insider info.
Maybe she has insider info, and she probably does. And to be fair, it's probably true because she's hanging around with people that would have been there.
Friends with, yeah. But, like, also maybe, like, this is part of the advice I want to give. Like, remind yourself, listener, he's with you now.
Yes.
She is there. She is physically in his world, and he's still choosing you every day.
Yeah.
You are still the person that he wants to be with. 100%. You are it. Yeah. So regardless of whether she was in the past,
you're in the past.
You're it now. So think about that and remind yourself of that. You know, he's choosing to be with you.
Yeah.
And he even has to see her and experience her in their extended friend group. And he's still not interested.
Yep.
You know.
So important. And hopefully that
so
will.
So that should give you a bit of confidence in terms of the ex being there physically present.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another thing is maybe to think about ways that you can give yourself a bit of peace of mind, or ways that you might think about making yourself feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Because you started by saying
that she feels insecure.
Yeah. So think about maybe explore some ways that you can feel better.
What would you like? So say one of your friends came to you, Andrea, and was like, I'm feeling a bit insecure about myself. I'm feeling a bit low. What would your advice be?
So I suppose it'd be, it depends. It really depends.
If it was physical insecurity.
So like, about
I don't
how they
feel
look.
Like I look good. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I get the feeling that that's what she means. Because she says the girl is stunning and I feel bad. Like she mentioned body image issues.
She did. She did mention body image issues. So I think it would, I think there's a number of things that you can do in that instance. I think you can treat your body well.
Yeah.
And by that I mean, I don't mean put yourself on some type of mad restrictive eating plan or overeating plan, whatever your body.
There is no fad diet that's ever proven to work long term.
Either way. So if you're not happy, if you feel like you're too small, if you feel like you're too big, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is that you feel like, that's not the answer. What the answer is, sorry, I've said it about six times.
What the answer is
echo.
I know what you mean though.
But the answer is treating your body with the respect it deserves.
Love your body.
Love your body.
And I don't mean, when we say love your body, we don't mean just wake up one day and be like, ah, I love my body. That's not what we mean.
No.
Treat it with love. Exercise. Eat lovely meals.
Yeah.
You know, listen like intuitive eating, whatever it is that you want to do. Meditate, do yoga, stretch, go for walks. And I don't like, don't, you know, punish yourself and try and change your body and try and like, I need to be X size before I'm happy, because that's a fast road to nowhere.
That is going to just set you up for failure.
Totally. Because you'll get to that size or you'll get to that goal and you'll be like, no, I'm not going to be happy until I'm this goal.
Yeah.
Now.
There's always the goalposts. If
the goalposts change. Yeah.
Depending on what you're. So a lot of the time we set ourselves up with metrics that are superficial. Mm-hmm. For instance, weight or circumference, mm-hmm. or, you know, shape.
Yeah.
But if you set yourself up with different metrics of like how you feel about your body or how you associate yourself, your body with the world.
Or like what clothes you will feel comfortable wearing.
You know, exactly.
How you will look in your clothes or, yeah.
You know, there's other ways to do it. So if it is like, personally, mm-hmm. I do weightlifting. Mm-hmm. So when I got really into that frame of mind and I was weightlifting, the number that I started focusing on was the weight on the bar. It wasn't my physical body weight.
Yeah.
And that was a huge shift for me, because up until that point, I would have been the one chasing the number on the scales the whole time.
I would have been real scales focused for a lot of my 20s.
Yeah.
And then the later I got into my 20s, like you, years ago, like I think I was probably 25 when I started lifting, and like I still was very scales focused for a long time. And then I got a trainer who was like, what are you looking at the scales for? And I was like, oh. And it just made me reframe it
100%.
And I started thinking about how I felt and how fit I felt, how healthy I felt, did I sleep well, was I, you know, all those good things. And that made me feel good about my body.
Exactly.
And it's not been about a number. Now, I'm not saying that this, like, that she hasn't,
we don't know, we're
number.
Speculating. We're speculating. And I suppose we're using our own, it's our own lived experience of this when it comes to body issues for ourselves personally as women.
Yeah, as women, where it does a lot.
Do you know what I mean? Where, like, let's not get into that, but you know what I mean? Like, socially, the culture is, you know, very skewed. But think about maybe start trying to think about all the things your body can do. Seeing the right.
And just like that, I genuinely think if you start treating your body with respect and love and trying to focus on it feeling good.
Yeah.
You'll start to feel like you look good.
Yeah.
Your insecurities will drop away.
Like, obviously there's a lot to be said for, you know, checking in and making sure that this doesn't go any deeper. And that, you know,
I might leave a couple of links in.
I think that's a really good idea.
The show notes to a couple of like, you know, body image sort of centric focused websites, organizations that can
help.
Yeah.
Because just on the off chance that it runs a bit deeper than what we've offered up, I think it might be just something to put in the show notes. That's what they're there for.
I have a question. I think
catched me.
It seems as though the intimacy that they had haunts her a bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that? Like, I'm just thinking for me, like, I genuinely in the past have had exes, and actually with my husband as well, where, now, this hasn't crossed my mind for years and years, but like in other relationships there have been moments where I've been like, it actually made me feel weird and kind of uneasy that someone else had been intimate with them in the way that I had.
100%. You
know? So I can understand why the knowledge that they've been sexually intimate freaks her the fuck out.
And having to see the person that they've been sexually intimate with.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And having to watch them interact, that must be difficult.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Like, she probably like looking for every micro expression and every hand on the back, and is that hand too low? Is that hand too high? Did he
drive yourself mad?
Brush her thigh there with his hand. You know what I mean?
There's a lot to be said for cut and run.
Oh, there's a lot to be said for cut and run. There's a lot to be said about how it's not healthy.
No, I'm sorry.
No, but you know what? I'm joking. But
so am I. No, so but, am I. But I just like, think that is that, must that be, it's normal.
Having those thoughts
completely normal, because I definitely have had those thoughts in the past about people that I didn't like. Not that I even knew they existed, but people that potentially could have existed, because
totally.
You know, you don't. Yeah. You know
but
what
you
mean?
Do. I think it's natural to like, you know, because you do say to your partner at the time, you're like, and what about this ex? And what did they do? And how often did you have sex with them? And did you do this? And did you do that? And like, you do compare yourself. You're like straight in there with the comparison. And even, you know, when you meet someone new and they talk about their exes at whatever stage, you're like, straight away, you're like, well, that bitch can get in the sea, you know, even though you don't know them.
No idea
no
who
reason
they are.
To like you know, but it that is a natural reaction. So I think it's totally understandable that the intimacy would haunt you, because you know, I think it haunts everyone. It definitely haunts me.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any solution for that other than try not to think about it.
That's a great one.
Just be like, don't think about this because it's really awkward.
Yeah. Don't give it the headspace. Mm-hmm. And maybe instead of spending time worrying about that, thinking about ways that you can feel better in yourself would be a good way to spend that time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If
a thought crosses your mind as like, oh, she's kissed my boyfriend, or she has seen my boyfriend naked, or she has had my boyfriend's penis inside her, think about like, just go, nah, I'm going to think about me having sex with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Currently, you know, like, you know, in present day.
Reframe that.
Yeah. Just like whatever.
Pull it back.
Whatever you have to do, just distract yourself.
Distract yourself, exactly.
Distract
pull it back.
Distract yourself with like.
And like.
Live memories of you and your boyfriend having sex. And do you know what? Like.
A little porno going on in your head there.
No, but you know what, right? Imagine like, okay, I'm imagining some kind of like garden party. It's the summertime, you know, we're at a garden party. It makes it sound like I'm the queen and I've invited people over for tea, but that's not what I mean. I mean, like, you're in the back garden, everyone's having
a barbecue. Let's frame it in the Irish
way. Barbecue.
A garden party.
What? Like, what's wrong with me? What is wrong with
me? Come on.
So we're having a garden party.
Gorge.
No. So you're at a barbecue. All the pals are there.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. Good tubbing. A vision of your boyfriend boning his ex flashes across your eyes. Mm-hmm. You're standing there. There's sausages. There's buns. There's buns. There's meat on the Barbie. And you're like, oh my God, all I can think about is him riding her. Alert, alert.
Yeah.
Stop, drop and roll and start thinking about, just literally close your eyes for a quick second and visualize you two having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, right, the smug, happy, kind of embarrassed glow that will happen to your face
yeah.
will become apparent to all in attendance, including the ex. And she'll be like, well, why does that girl look so pleased with herself? And then all of a sudden the tables have been turned because you're over there being like, I'm boning this ride bag. You aren't anymore. And all of a sudden you look buzzed.
I love that idea.
Right?
Yeah.
And nobody will know. You'll have a little secret. You'll be like, I'm picturing the ride. And you guys don't know.
I don't know why people don't do that more often in their real lives.
I mean, I do. No. But you know what I mean?
That's a great idea.
Because like, if you
that's reclaiming it, being like, no,
it's taking charge. It's like,
I'm going to think about us having sex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At this barbecue.
Live. Over this grill.
So, yeah, maybe try that.
Yeah,
that's a shy idea, that could be. But that's what and I look, do.
At the heart of it all, if it becomes an issue, have the conversation with your partner.
Totally. And that's actually another really good, good thing to say.
Yeah.
Discuss this with your partner. So sit down with your boyfriend and be like,
if you haven't already.
If you haven't already, which you may have, good point. Be like, I'm really intimidated by your ex and the fact that I she's obviously extremely sound for being like, yeah, you're friends with her. That's totally cool. Props to the listener because
100%.
That's really big of her. Yeah. But if she sat down with him and was like, look, here's how it is. I'm really jealous. I'm really insecure around her. Not jealous. She didn't say she was jealous. She said she was insecure. And like, if she was just really upfront with him and was like, look, I'm happy enough for you to be friends with her. But when I'm in her presence, I just feel
awkward
and insecure. And like, I'm, you know, less good looking and less whatever. I guarantee you, you're like the listener's boyfriend will be like, oh my God, you are the hottest piece of ass since, you know, like I'd say he will rush to reassure her yeah. first of all that she is an absolute 10 out of 10. And then I think he will, or I would hope anyway.
Yeah.
That maybe the next time they're at a garden party, he would maybe do things that make her feel reassured.
Yeah.
So he might be more physically affectionate to her, to his yeah. girlfriend. He might, and I'm not saying like he might avoid his ex, but he might try and be more just aware and more respectful and more kind of just have an awareness that like his current partner is feeling insecure. So maybe, mm-hmm. maybe he won't like have a one-on-one laughing in the corner conversation with his ex where yeah. it could be misconstrued as flirting. No, I'm not saying he does that, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there's anything that he had been doing up until that point that would in any way cause the insecurity in his current partner to mm-hmm. be heightened, maybe he could tone that down a bit.
Yeah.
Not to say that
you can't be friends because that doesn't seem to be on the table
no.
at the moment. It's just about how they can work together to make the listener more secure.
Totally.
And it's as simple as, and if you can have that conversation, fantastic.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there are ways, there could be small
and
things that could
not,
happen.
He might not even be aware of the insecurity.
See, if the conversation hasn't happened, he might know.
He
could be doing things that are just adding to
mindless,
it, fuel on
mindlessly,
fire.
Yeah, but not intending to.
Absolutely.
Like he might be, like say for instance, when they arrive to the garden party, he might go over and hug his ex.
Yeah.
Whereas there might be other ways you can greet someone that you used to be intimate with while yeah. your current partner is standing beside you. Listen, throw a high five up. Or maybe, you know, cough really loudly and they'll avoid you because they think you've got COVID.
Listen.
Whatever it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, I feel like, no, there's ways that if he's aware that she's insecure.
Yeah. Even the awareness, I think, would make
better.
As
yeah.
you said, the awareness, I think, would make an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the final thing that seems to be a problem for her is the who broke up with who element.
Yeah.
Like it seems to bother her that she broke up with him rather than the other way around. And what I would say there is, no couple breaks up because one person is deliriously happy and the other person isn't. Couples break up because the couple is unhappy.
Yeah.
Whoever does the breaking up is just the decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because I've been in couples where we've been unhappy and the other person has broken up with me.
Yeah.
But I've known.
Mm.
I've been like, yeah, this yeah. needs to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or vice versa. I know I've been in couples where we've been unhappy and I've broken up with them.
You've
and
called
they've
it.
Been like, yeah, I'm devastated, but fair enough. This needed to happen.
Yeah.
So I think dwelling on the who broke up with who, you don't need
There's
to.
Always a reason.
There's always a reason. And what I'm getting from reading the message is your boyfriend is mad about you. He is not with her. He's choosing you. And that should fill you with at least a little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
And everything else, like we said, can be worked on. And I'm really sorry, actually, to hear that you're feeling insecure, because there's nothing worse. We have all been there, haven't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm still there some days.
Listen, we all, this is the thing. We all have days. That. We all have those days. We all have those times.
Mm-hmm.
But you're worth, knowing your worth and that being more important than anything kind of physical or surface level is really important. And yeah. it's easier said than done.
But like that's your boyfriend's not with you because, I mean, your boyfriend is with you for all the good reasons.
All the good reasons.
Do you know what I mean?
And there's so many reasons that make you who you are.
Yeah. Apart from your physicality.
100%.
So bear that in mind as well, I think, is our advice.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Oh, yeah. Like if she was here, be giving her a hug.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Totally. Massive podcast hug.
Yeah. Giant podcast hug. What's a podcast hug?
I just
will we wrap our mics around her body and give her a squeeze? Is that?
Oh, I was just trying to give an aerial podcast hug by saying podcast hug. Sorry.
So we've talked for far too long. I can't even see. From here. And okay, guys, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. I haven't moved an inch. I haven't physically moved my body since we started this record because this morning, was it this morning? What day is it? Friday. No, yesterday evening in the gym, I was, oh my God, my trainer. He just takes no prisoners and he really killed me. And I don't feel like my quads even exist anymore. My lower back is killing me. My hamstrings are killing me. My glutes, guys, holy shit. My glutes are on fire. I feel mm-hmm. like someone has set fire to my ass. So I haven't moved. And I can't lean forward and see how long we've been talking for.
But we can measure it in the sun has started to go down.
The sun has set on this episode.
Oh, nice.
Nice. So we're going to say goodbye. We're going to say drop by and leave us a review.
Five stars.
Andrea's always in there with the five stars. We know it's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
But we would really appreciate it. It really helps. It really does help. And it like there's so many podcasts. Oh, do you know, I heard a statistic
actually
from the lovely people at Acast. We are an Acast podcast, just in case that's not clear. And I was talking to them earlier, I had a meeting with them, and they were saying that at this like big podcast symposium situation in London, a statistic was released that only 11% of podcasts are female hosted.
What?
11%. Do you know what that means? That means that 89%.
Good maths.
Thank you.
Very
of
impressed.
Podcasts are male hosted.
Mm.
I think we should start a campaign to take the microphones out of the men's hands.
Here we go again. Okay. On that note,
we're going to get Ashley away from all. No, to be fair, but like that is, isn't that?
That is madness.
Isn't it mad?
Yeah.
11%.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's 50% of us in the world. In fact, I think we actually might be 51%.
Listen.
I mean, okay, we're going to go. Love you loads. That's what Andrea and I say to each other at the end of WhatsApp voice notes. No, but seriously, thanks for the support. Thanks for the listens. And hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And we will see you again, or you will hear us again next week. So until then, stay safe.
Have fun.
Goodbye.
Bye.
to sleep in.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.